Welcome one and all as we close out this week. We've almost made it to the weekend once again. I'm Johnny Arola. This is the Damage Report, which is the day, by the way, where we'll be throwing away our garbage people of the week. And it's always fun, you know, week after week with Brett Ehrlich, we have a lot of fun identifying some prime trash. But that's not how it's gonna go today. Brett is still in Japan having a fun time. And in place of Brett today, we have a special treat, the return of Viviana Vigil. Viviana, welcome back.
Hi, John. Oh, what a treat to be able to be here. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that Brett's in Japan because I get to be here with you.
Exactly. Yes, I love us being here together. If I had the chance to instead be in Japan, I'm going to keep it real. I would do that. So hopefully someday that'll happen. But anyway, we were just talking before we started the show that you have a project which is soon to launch. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, I've been working on it for almost a full year, John. It's a docuseries starring John Leguizamo. And I'm so excited to say that episode one is going to feature a segment with Aida Rodriguez, who your audience knows very well. I fought very hard to get her on the show and she kills it. You guys are gonna love it. The show follows John as he goes all around the United States talking to American Latinos who have really contributed to the culture of this country. We're not talking about people from other countries coming here and bringing their culture. We're talking about culture born in the US and a lot of issues that really American Latinos are dealing with, including the term Latinx, whether to use it, whether to not use it. Aida touches on that and it's really incredible. It's gonna air April 17th on MSNBC. It's a Sunday night, so please check it out. Hopefully I'll be on the show again to promote it before it airs, but if not, I will be promoting it on my socials so you guys can take a look there too.
That's awesome. Very exciting. Clarification, when she said John's traveling around, not me, obviously, it's Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo, equally notable,
at least as notable. But anyway, by the way, I just recently watched a couple weeks ago, Violent Night. John Leguizamo was in that. It was a lot of fun. You know, this is like the return of John Leguizamo. So anyway, that's gonna be a lot of fun. Love to see Aida involved in a project like that. Thank you for pushing for her to be involved.
Anywho,
yes. Well, yeah, thank you to her for her amazing career and deserving a position. So anyway, thank you all for being here as well, because we've got a lot to talk about. Not only are we gonna be throwing away the trash in the full show, and I know what some of you watching the linear or listening to the podcast might think, well, we never hear the garbage, and I get it. And I'm sorry, feel free every once in a while to pop in on a live show. We stream on Twitch and on YouTube and a bunch of other places. But also, these clips go up on our YouTube page. So youtube.com/thedamagereport. You can watch all the content from the aftermath that doesn't make it to the hour-long version of the show. Just a little reminder that that exists. Oh, another reminder too, by the way. So we've been putting up new original content on our vertical platforms. So on YouTube Shorts and Instagram Reels, but also on our TikTok. And on TikTok, I've been doing a little response to the community garbage people of the week, each week. And people seem to be really enjoying that. It's already released for today. So if you go to tiktok.com/thedamagereport, you can take a look at that. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button on that, that would be great. You know, we're like, we're trying to get the algorithm to love us the way we love it. And you can maybe help us do that. Maybe make it the most liked video on our channel. How cool would that be? So anyway, with all that said, we got a lot to talk about, Viviana. This war between Fox and Trump that I feel is gonna be coming, got some evidence there. CPAC is in full Looney Tunes effect. So we're gonna be responding to some of that. And Kyle Rittenhouse desperately, desperately needs your money. Also, how is a setting on the iPhone PO-ing conservatives? We'll tell you all about it in just a little bit. So hit the like button, share the stream, send us comments. If you want us to read them, maybe even get a $100 Blue Apron gift card. We would love to see what you have to say. With all that said, Viviana, you ready to do this thing?
Ready or not, here we go.
Okay, let's do it. So it was revealed in great detail in that big expose about Rupert Murdoch and Fox News and about Donald Trump following the 2020 election, how they knew that they were telling lies, that all this election stuff was nonsense. And we've done a lot of critical coverage of that. But I wanna focus on why they did it right now. So it was very clear from their statements. This is not us reading between the lines. This is us reading the lines of their text messages and emails that they were terrified that if they turned against Donald Trump, or if their audience just perceived that they were turning against Donald Trump, that they would lose that audience. And that would be it for Fox News. They would flee to Newsmax. Very specifically, that's what their concerns were, which is why the path that Fox is on right now, I find to be so interesting because it looks like they are set to collide with Donald Trump sometime in the near future, in a day, in a week, in 3 months, but they are gearing up for a massive collision. Here's a new report. Fox News reportedly shadow banning Donald Trump. And that is not like some new policy going forward. That's apparently what they've been doing. According to four Trump aides, the network has refused to book Donald Trump or even talk much about him in the context of the Republican presidential primary. Quote, it's certainly, however you wanna say, quiet ban, soft ban, whatever it is, indicative of how the Murdochs feel about Trump in this particular moment. Others have said that this is a policy. This is not just describing an effect. This went out to them and they are supposed to abide by it. Trump, by the way, has not been on Fox News since September of last year. That was following the raid of Mar-a-Lago back when he was telling Sean Hannity that he could declassify documents by like thinking about it really hard or whatever. And even when he did his trip to East Palestine, they didn't really cover it at all. Certainly not live in the way that he might have. And you might think, well, maybe they're just being careful when it comes to the presidential race. They don't want to seem to be picking sides, but they kind of are picking sides because while Donald Trump has not been on Fox News since September of last year, Vivek Ramaswamy, who just launched like 2 weeks ago, has already been on four times in a 10-day period. Ron DeSantis has been on four times just 3 days this week. So they are flooding their airwaves with other Republican candidates or likely candidates, but not for Donald Trump. And this is not the only evidence I have that they appear to be rethinking how terrified they should be of Trump, their willingness to turn against him and possibly have a war for the future of the MAGA movement. I have some other evidence I'll present in a moment, but Viviana, what do you think?
I mean, I think you would be blind to not have noticed this trend for, like you said, he hadn't been on Fox for all, you know, since September of last year, that he was on there every single day. They loved him. So in light of what happened with Rupert Murdoch and him admitting that they're really slanting some stuff over on Fox, you know, news alert, that's news to everybody, right? Now we know Fox has been doing that for a while, but the truth comes out. So we now see that this is not, you know, unbiased journalism. They have an agenda. I'm sure they have people who are paying for that agenda to come to fruition. It is, you know, interesting to see who the GOP is now favoring and who, you know, Fox, who has ties to the GOP, is now favoring. So, you know, not shocking, but it's kind of like, you know, watching a car wreck. You're like, okay, well, what's gonna happen next here?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that there are some consequences, hypothetical consequences of this war that will absolutely suck for progressives. I mean, why not? It's 2023, it's America. Being a progressive sucks in a lot of ways politically because the other side has so much power and money. But it could result in the destruction of Donald Trump, which that would be fine by me. It could result in the destruction of Fox News, which would be the best thing ever. So I don't know, I'm pretty excited for it. There's a couple really interesting things developing in American politics for 2023. But let's turn to a little bit more evidence. So we already talked about this before, but Tucker Carlson, he had suggested effectively that Donald Trump is too old to run for re-election. Now, it's not as clear as it seems. Tucker Carlson doesn't have the balls to actually say that, or maybe he has them, but he accidentally over-tanned them, I don't know. He didn't say Donald Trump is too old. He said, well, you know, people like Biden are too old and we can't have an old man. They're not strong enough. Wink, wink, idiots, are you getting what I'm selling? He doesn't, again, have the strength or the courage to actually go up against Trump, but this could very much be perceived by Trump to be an attack. That's what it was designed to be. And some who have a little bit more courage than Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham actually participated in a Ron DeSantis donor event ahead of his likely run. Now again, if Trump were to message her, she could say, well, he's not running for president. This is just a donor thing for his gubernatorial race. I mean, after all, he's gonna have to run again in like 6 years or whatever, whatever it is. But no, this is clearly her trying to line up beside Ron DeSantis. So this isn't just like a Rupert Murdoch policy. Some of the highest profile hosts appear to be trying to create distance, and Trump, if the race gets closer, is not gonna appreciate that.
I think that, you know, going back to what you said of what this is gonna be, I think this is gonna be the fall of Trump. And like you said, I'm totally fine with that. I don't think it's going to be the fall of Fox News. People find it's entertainment programming. It's not news. It's programming that entertains people and they enjoy it. And I don't even think that Ingram, it's like, oh, well, I really like Ron. I think these people are getting paid. I think that they are getting paid to support certain people and to push certain people. I wouldn't put it past them. And, you know, I don't think they have any moral character in their fiber at all to say this is a candidate I really support and choose. But DeSantis has been getting a lot of press and a lot of attention across the nation for his ridiculous policies and horrible stuff he's doing in Florida. A lot of people like it. A lot of people like the hatred and the ignorance. So it's a sad day for our country if he is getting traction. But, you know, it's like lesser of the two evils, right? Trump or DeSantis, I don't know. They're pretty much the same.
Yeah, I think the perception that they were would be very different in effect from like a year or two ago. I think that should be largely gone. I think us who watch politics, who follow politics, we understand that they're far more similar now, both in rhetoric and in substance than they used to be. So we'll have to see. But this is a dangerous path for Fox News because they seem to be lining up. Fox News seems to be making the decision that Ron DeSantis can pull this thing out, so we can afford to turn on Donald Trump and we won't lose our audience. But can they? Because I'm not even talking about polls here. We've talked about the polls. We'll continue talking about the polls. Brian Kilmeade did this thing, and I can't show you the video because they put like Chumbawamba in the background or something. But I'm gonna show you a picture to set the scene. Here's Brian Kilmeade in what that's actually much better video B-roll. My producers know what they're doing. But anyway, I did shoot some screenshots where he looked like a doofus, so we don't have that. But anyway, so he's in this diner surrounded by a lot of people who are very conservative and even more white. And he starts asking them, who do you want for president? And there's a bunch of them there, by the way. And here's how it goes. Trump says the first, Trump says the second, Trump says the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. So perhaps to add a little bit of diversity of thought, he goes up to a woman who is wearing a Ron DeSantis t-shirt and asks who she backs. And she says, oh gosh, I don't know, Trump or DeSantis, I'm either or. So the woman who's advertising for DeSantis isn't even sure she wants him. And when she lists both, she puts Trump first. So I actually was shocked by this. I was further shocked to find out that diner is within walking distance of where Ron DeSantis used to live, and he represented that diner when he was in Congress. So this is DeSantis area. This is right at the heart of the meatball. And yet they all just want Trump. So it's just funny that like you have all of these Fox personalities and top brass who seem to be willing to, in a very cowardly, weaselly way, kind of have a little bit of bravery and distance themselves from Donald Trump. But now you have this evidence where I don't know if that's going to be good for them, which means it's going to be very good for us. What do you think?
Well, it's the dark side of American politics because they're going to vote for who the nominee is. And unfortunately, I think that money is going to determine who that nominee is. If you have Trump or DeSantis on that ballot for the primaries, money's going to decide who's on the top. And then those people will vote and follow, you know, in line. Sadly, Fox News audience tend to be like sheep. And they will just follow the flock. And they'll think, well, he's the nominee, so he won. I mean, this is kind of the absurdity of a two-party system. And we've seen both the DNC and the GOP playing these dirty games in the primaries and picking the candidate that they want. So, you know, are these Fox News anchors and personalities being, you know, brave? I don't think so. I think they know something that we don't. I think they know what side of the bread what side the bread is being buttered?
Is buttered on?
Yeah. So they know what's going to be happening. For whom the butter tolls. I love that. Even better. So they know, okay, the money's here. The money's going to push DeSantis. Let's get behind him now because we need to get these, you know, companies on our side. They're our donors. Yeah. There are people who are buying the advertising on Fox.
Yeah. And we haven't seen any of that. We also, to be fair, haven't seen Ron DeSantis really campaign against Republicans, but also he doesn't really seem to be indicating that he has the heart for it, that he has the guts to go up against him. He's getting decimated on his prior support for cutting Medicare and Social Security and all of that, rightly so. And I can't imagine that he's the one who's going to attack Donald Trump more effectively than everyone else. Nobody seems to want to do it. Even Fox News here, by the way, like creating a little bit of distance where you don't bring him on, where you don't cover his event, where you like sort of hint that older people like shouldn't be in office or something. That's something. But if they actually believed that it would be better for them, better for conservatives, better for the rich or whatever drives them, for Ron DeSantis to be president, what if they all turned their cannons on Donald Trump at the same time? What if all of them did? They could potentially take him down. It's just that they are all to a one cowardly little babies. That's what they are.
That's it.
No offense to babies. Babies shouldn't have to fight these fights.
Babies are pretty brave. They're pretty brave. They'll just jump downstairs. They don't even know what's going on.
Because they don't understand the consequences of actions. It's more ignorant than brave. But anyway. Okay, so that's the main point that I wanted to make about all of this. But as this is going on, obviously, the group that potentially might gain if Fox plays their cards poorly here is something like Newsmax. And so they're gonna have a little bit of fun with this. I'm gonna give them a minute to have a little victory lap starting with this.
Where Fox goes off the rails is deciding to stop covering Donald Trump at all because he made accusations that some higher ups and hosts there didn't actually believe to be true. After the 2020 election, Trump was still the sitting president of the United States for a couple more months, the most powerful man alive. Anything he said was newsworthy and worthy of analysis.
Yeah, it might be newsworthy when the guy is making obvious blatant lies about the election. It might in effect be worthy of analysis, but just broadcasting it without any filter as Newsmax was doing is a great way to get sued by Dominion, as Fox was and as Newsmax was also. So this is host Rob Schmidt, I guess, of Newsmax trying to stick it to Fox a little bit for this expose, which is totally deserved. Fox was being totally fake. I would add as a corollary that Newsmax has been just as grifty as Fox ever was. They were desperately telling whatever lies they could, bringing on Mike Lindell and all that to try to take the audience away from Fox. But in the end, they could benefit. And I want to let him finish off his argument here.
Today, Trump is still easily the most popular conservative candidate and is again running for president, and Fox is pretending that he's not. We saw it last week when Trump went to East Palestine, Ohio, to the delight of everybody that lived there. And Fox refused to take that live, analyzing some nonsensical story with the anchors instead. Here at Newsmax, we cover all of it. We discuss all the candidates. We let you decide who you want to support. It's part of the reason why our competition is a bit worried about us. Shortly after the 2020 emails, Rupert emailed another executive about Newsmax, writing, "These people should be watched." He's right about that.
Look, the idea that they're like unbiased or whatever is laughable. It's the funniest thing a right winger has ever said in American politics. But they do get to point it out. That's what Rupert Murdoch said. Tucker Carlson was terrified of becoming irrelevant and having Newsmax steal his lunch. So yeah. they get to mock him over it. I don't begrudge him that. What do you think?
I think that's valid. But you know, Fox was every day Trump was on. You know, in 2016. I mean, every day he was taking calls from the toilet. Like the guy was on constantly. So this is really not that much different. I mean, they've already shown how they operate as a company. Now, is Newsmax right to point that out? Sure, but of course it's the pot calling the kettle black. You know, it's interesting to see where media has gone over the years, and it's interesting to see where politics is going, and we really are gonna have to take the money out of it. And we're really gonna have to break up this monopoly of journalism, because this is gonna continue to happen, you know? And there's no doubt of Trump's popularity still amongst the people in this country. He is a popular figure. So whoever wants to prop him up, you know, that's not working obviously anymore as it did before. So they're picking a new candidate because he's problematic in a lot of ways, and it's not his opinions. Trump is problematic because Trump has no loyalty to anybody. Not even lobbyists, he'll go whatever the wind blows him. So that's problematic for people to want you to walk their line. So I think that's why we're seeing that Trump is not getting the support he did years ago, because he doesn't play by those rules. It's why the people liked him, playing by the rules or whatever. But he's kind of a wild card in that sense. And DeSantis is a little bit more, you know, of an SS guard, I guess.
Oh my God, that escalated fast at the end there. Yeah. By the way, I guess I don't know how much they actually care, because I think at the end of the day, for a right winger, you can have Trump or you can have Biden. But Trump is going to give you some of the social stuff that you want. Biden is going to give you a lot more stuff that's exciting to talk about as a right winger, and he's not going to raise taxes anyway. So, like economically, it's probably pretty similar. So if they get their wish, what some of them are openly saying, some of them not so openly, and DeSantis beats Trump in the Republican primary, we don't often mention this. Maybe it goes without saying. That doesn't mean that Trump doesn't keep running for president. I'll remind you.
Yeah.
Like. You may not want him on the Republican ticket, but do you want him off the Republican ticket?
Is that better for you? Really good point, John. That is because he's not going to bow out and just be like a humble, okay, well, you guys, he's going to say, screw you guys. So it could really blow up in their face. I love it. I mean,
yeah,
if we're going to see the games.
Yeah, and they're going to be brutal. If he doesn't win the Republican primary, you better hope that he consoles himself with a massive piece of beautiful chocolate cake and just keels over in the dining room at Mar-a-Lago. Like, because that's the only thing that's gonna save you.
He changes his affiliation to the Green Party. Imagine that.
Oh, God. Jeez, suddenly a rabid environmentalist. I'll take it. Anyway, with that said, we have to take our first break of the hour. But when we come back, did you know CPAC is sort of still happening? It's kind of there, and it's still kind of insane. So we'll have some video for you after this. Okay, welcome back, everyone. So I'm trying to figure out another mystery. So it's a little bit bluish, your hair?
No.
Purple?
Brown.
Brownish? Okay, I'm getting a little sheen. It might be light bouncing off of maybe like the
pink. I'm not that cool, John. I'm not a purple blue hair. It doesn't work for me, okay?
Okay. I bet it would work fine, but it looks great as it is.
I like it on other people, but a mermaid hair is just not. Yeah, this is just like a chocolate brown. So there might be, you know, some tinges. Maybe the light's reflecting. I don't know.
I think it's a little bit of light. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe like right next to the ocean or something. I don't know.
Yes, I'm on
the boat. Yes, aren't we all? Okay, with that said, we should do a TYT cruise.
Yes.
Do live shows.
Ooh, I'd love to be invited.
That's a great idea. How would you like to live in person see me vomit all over the place? Anyway.
Well, that now changes everything.
That's what happened the last time I was on a boat for a solid week and a half. Anyway, with that said, we got some CPAC news. Let's jump into this.
I wake up every day pissed off because this administration destroyed the most secure border in our lifetime. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about the family separation. And no, I'm still being sued over that. So come get me. I don't give a shit, right? Bottom line is, we enforce the law. American families, when I was a cop in New York and I arrest a father for domestic violence or someone for DUI, I separate that family. When you violate the law with a child, you're going to be separated.
Oh, they love families. That's what conservatives love. Families and kids and life and screw them. Screw them and to separate them. They did something that I don't like, so they should all suffer for the rest of their lives. I love how fast we've moved. That, by the way, is former Trump ICE director Thomas Homan. So you remember what the Republicans were saying when the family separation thing blew up? Many of them were like, well, hold on. Under Obama, there was a place too. So yes, okay, it's bad, but it was bad for everyone. A couple years later, it wasn't bad at all. Screw them. I'm gonna literally swear and get cheers at CPAC because I separated these families. These people are bloodthirsty, Viviana.
It's laughable, and only because it's so sad and tragic. I mean, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the family separation. Imagine being a kid. These are the people that claim to care so much about kids that they're going to force you to have them. But if you break a law and you have a kid, we might kill you both. I'm just letting you know.
100%. Yeah, it's obviously unapologetic.
It's like siblings fighting too. Well, Obama did it. Well, Biden did it. Well, it's like, really?
How about none of us do it?
Yeah. Can we just stop it? Is that okay? And the most secure border of our lifetime. Come on, man. There's swaths of that border that are still open and remained open. This is not the problem. They just love to hear about it and they love to say these hateful things because they get that response.
Yeah, they know what the applause lines are. They know what that audience is. And that's always what I love about these live events. Like, I can come out here and try to make the case to you that these people are a certain way. They do a better job just in knowing what is gonna get applause, what hateful, disgusting, xenophobic things are gonna get them like just like raucous applause.
It's the only reason Candace Owens has a career.
Exactly. Well, it's why most of the right-wing grifters do. It's all about just say a bunch of stuff and then see what gets the biggest response. And then that becomes your entire personality and ideology. Mm. None of them were talking about drag shows 4 years ago. Not a single time, not a single person ever. This isn't a thing that is actually bothering
them. But a few of them were going.
Yeah, well, apparently we're finding that out rapidly. They were not all constantly like just trying to get people to pay attention to trans high school swimmers. Why won't anyone pay attention? No, it's just a thing that they fell into and now it's their whole thing. The only truly honest thing said by Thomas Homan there was, I wake up every morning pissed off. I bet you do. I bet a lot of you do. Because none of this stuff is actually gonna fill the hole inside of you, it turns out.
Damn it, we're not putting kids in cages anymore. I'm so angry.
I saw a mom holding her daughter's hand and I wanted to puke. Anyway, we have more insanity. Let's jump into this.
Every day it's something new.
Yeah.
They're coming after family. They want to divide family. They don't want any gender. They want one gender. They want to attack everything that we've done over the years and go by their ideology. And they know, the left knows, especially the far left, the progressives, the crazies, they know that if they can get to our young kids, then it will change everything just in a short period of time.
What are you talking about? We want one gender. Like, again, he doesn't even know. They all know that they're supposed
to
say.
Talking about the restrooms.
Yeah, I guess sure, unisex bathrooms, I guess in some areas, I don't know, but one gender, he knows he's supposed to say gender. He's basically ChatGPT, but yes, kind of walking around and roughly alive. It doesn't know exactly what it's supposed to say. You guys believe there should be only two genders. If anything, you attack us for acknowledging other gender expressions and identities, not fewer of them. Get your talking points straight. In any event, he wasn't the only person focusing on gender. First of all, spoiler alert, they all were. But here's one more speaker on that.
So last Congress, I did something radical and extreme. Because remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's so extreme. I introduced a bill called the Protect Children's Innocence Act. Protect Children's Innocence Act. And let me tell you my great news this morning, ladies and gentlemen. It couldn't pass last Congress because, like I said, Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House and she doesn't believe in gender at all. But we have a new speaker in our Republican majority in the House of Representatives. And I'm going to be introducing my bill, the Protect Children's Innocence Act, that will make it a felony to perform anything to do with gender affirming care on children.
Big smile, screw those people. I mean, some of them are gonna feel ostracized, like their families are gonna run them out and they're gonna, you know, possibly some of them are gonna commit suicide, but whatever, I'm getting applause right now, so that's really fun. First of all, I would like to warn everyone, I'm hearing updates that America is rapidly running out of genders because 3 minutes ago we only believed in one. Now we don't believe in any of them. Is it possible to reach negative genders?
No genders at all. And she wants to protect children's innocence until they're born. And then she doesn't care anymore. It's just the hypocrisy is really strong. And this is exactly what you said. I love the GPT, ChatGPT analysis. They're like, check, let me just say it. Let me just say it. Let me get the applause and move on. They really have no interest in really understanding the complexities of gender affirming care. You want to protect innocence, but you don't want to protect children's, you know, mental health. You don't want to protect children from suicide. You don't want to check. I mean, the list goes on about how we can actually protect children, and it has nothing to do with what she just said.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have the text of her Protecting Children's Innocence Act right here, but I have a feeling it probably doesn't protect them from maniacs wielding AR-15s. Again, no. Just like take a look at the sorts of assaults on their innocence. So a second grade teacher who doesn't exist, who wants to groom them or whatever, that's a big threat and needs to stop. But then being gunned down in cold blood, no, we don't need to do anything about that. The possibility that they won't receive a good enough education, access to higher education to live perhaps the sort of life that they might want to, that's not a destruction of their innocence or their potential. So forget about that. We don't need to do anything about that. It's all about the gender stuff, which as we know, is the biggest issue that has ever faced American schools. Absolute garbage.
This is the same discussion they were having in the early 90s in regards to sex education and providing education about contraceptives, condoms, all that kind of stuff. And it's the same language. They wanted to protect the children. Don't listen, but they don't think about the aftermath of what hiding that information from children could do. So it's a new talking point for a new decade, but it's the same kind of thing where they think that educating children and providing resources to children is somehow perverting children. But if we just have our hands off, that's gonna be better. But we know from studies and they've done the research, we gotta educate children about safe sex. We have to educate children about genders and gender identity. And gender identity, here's the thing that is getting so perverted by the Republican Party. Gender identity doesn't have to do with sexuality per se.
No, it doesn't.
So why are we mixing it up like it has to do with sex? It doesn't. It has to do with how you express your gender. So, they're really confused and they're in the dark about this. They don't care to learn. Like you said, they're just ChatGPT bots. I love it. It's exactly what's happening.
100%. Yes. I tweeted earlier today, it's the conservative Google the difference between sex and gender challenge of 2023. It's not complicated. It's not about sexual orientation, and it's also not literally about your sex. It's a different thing. And they are more focused on gender than anyone in American history has ever been. They just will never say that that's what they're focusing on when they talk constantly about how terrified they are of not seeming masculine enough or male enough or alpha enough or whatever. They are like right now somewhere, Ted Cruz is terrified that someone doesn't perceive him as masculine. So they are very focused on that. They don't want anything other than discussion around how tanning your balls is gonna make you more of a man or whatever. They are super interested in gender and gender expression.
Wait a minute,
John. They just don't want you to be paying attention to it.
What? John, this is the second time you've mentioned tanning balls. And I just
it's a thing.
Does it happen?
No, it's Tucker Carlson did this stupid faux documentary where they had this machine that you stand in front of that microwaves your testicles or whatever to supposedly make you a man. It's not my thing, it's his thing.
Anyway. It's interesting because probably this obsession of gender really has to do with patriarchy and toxic masculinity, and that like just like there's this fear of losing whiteness, there's a fear of losing this patriarchy power. So that probably is what's driving all of this. I don't know. It really is a lot of ignorant, baboons. Frankly, baboons probably are astute, but. 100%.
These are difficult times for CPAC because a lot of the big stars on the right are not interested in taking part. Ron DeSantis, who's like the big governor of America, he's head meatball. He doesn't want to be there. Former Vice President Mike Pence is skipping the event. Ronna McDaniel, who I guess is popular. Glenn Youngkin, who's a very popular Republican governor, not gonna be there. They do have some people there, but the vibe those people are generating isn't probably what CPAC was hoping for. It's being described as a bunch of speeches and panels that are forgettable, meandering, and filled with stale cliches, even by the low standards of conservative political rhetoric, including Senator John Kennedy making a joke about how kale tastes bad. Because that vegetable kale is liberal or something. You've got the libs of TikTok person making anti-trans comments, very novel and brave on the right. Literally all of them were doing that. Jim Jordan talked about Russian collusion. I think he forgot what year it was. Steve Bannon said that Trump won Pennsylvania. Okay, they just all talk about how everything is woke, I guess. It's boring. You got Candace Owens, who is the headliner for a day of CPAC. God, they are in rough times. Talked about how people mutilating their bodies does not change your sex. She apparently has not completed my challenge, because while it does not change your sex, it might change how you feel you're expressing your gender. And those are very different things. I don't know why it's so difficult for these people to understand that. But while the people that are there are awful and boring, and many people don't want to show up, they do have one potential star who's still going to come. Donald Trump. He's been bleeding out how excited he is, saying, "I will be at CPAC on Saturday," talking about the fact that obviously our country is going to hell and how to fix it. And then he goes on about Marxist thugs and all that. It's basically just the speech that he's going to read when he's there. But he does not waste the opportunity to attack those who are not going, saying the only reason certain candidates won't be going to CPAC is because the crowds have no interest in anything they have to say. They've heard it all before and don't want to hear it again. But my speech on Saturday night is already a sold out monster. What?
Oh.
They're trying to expand the room and space and time. The fabric of our universe must grow to accommodate me. We'll have a great time. We always do. See you there. And don't forget to vote in the important straw poll. I want to tweet it out. I'll lie if I have to, but I'd prefer not to. So he's still going to be there. Maybe his speech will be exciting. Viviana, what do you think?
I can't wait to see all the women for Trump and blacks for Trump and Latins for Trump signs behind him, that people forced to be there. I don't know. What are you going to do? Is it going to be out there? He's going to say what he says. Did he just say that he wants the country to go to hell, or it is going to hell? I wasn't sure if it was a statement or like an assessment.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to know. But I think this really just reminds me of what you said earlier. Like, he's not going to back down, even if he doesn't get the nomination. He's still going to be on the ballot. Yeah. And that is great for us.
You know what would be the best? Let me sketch out the best possible way that tomorrow can go. I don't know when the straw poll comes out, but I hope. Please, I hope it comes out before his speech. And I hope that Ron DeSantis does better than you would expect, because that will inspire Trump to annihilate him in his speech. And I want to come back on Monday and find what new nickname he's come up for him. It is going to be wild. Is he going to have people dressed as Ron DeSantis, literally pushing wheelchairs over cliffs or something? That's an attack he launched this week. I don't know. But this is maybe the highest profile speech that he's given during what's passed for a campaign so far. So there's every reason to believe that his commentary about Ron DeSantis is going to be wild.
I think if that happens, he's going to go off book and he's just going to go crazy. Maybe he'll have a bunch of people behind him wearing DeSantis masks and having signs that say DeSantis for Trump.
Maybe.
Usually his.
They're going to be spreading deranged memes, deep fake videos. And I don't mean just his supporters. Trump is going to be doing it. Anyway, do we have time? I don't know. Okay, we're gonna take a little break. I'm gonna reassess when we come back. We'll see if we can get to Matt Schlapp or not, but let's jump to this. President Joe Biden announced just yesterday that he's going to be signing a resolution to nix the District of Columbia's crime bill. And he announces with a tweet saying, "I support DC statehood and home rule, but I don't support some of the changes DC Council put forward over the mayor's objections, such as lowering penalties for carjackings. If the Senate votes to overturn what DC Council did, I'll sign it." So we're going to get to the criticism of that, and also how what he's citing there isn't super accurate. But I love that you're like, "No, I support their self-determination. They should rule themselves. But I disagree with some of the choices they're making. So screw them. I'm going to destroy the entire thing." I don't think that support means what you think it means. If you believe that people should be able to choose, unless they choose in a way you don't want them to, in which case you take away their choice, that's not how it's supposed to work. I'm not the only person who thinks this. AOC tweeted a response. "This ain't it. DC has a right to govern itself like any other state or municipality. If the president supports DC statehood, he should govern like it. Plenty of places pass laws the president may disagree with. He should respect the people's government of DC just as he does elsewhere," which is a great point. President Biden has, and even did in that say, He supports them becoming a full-on state. So why don't you act like it? Why don't you act like you believe that the many, many people who live there deserve to make choices for themselves? And the mayor's veto was overridden by the city council 12-1. This wasn't close. This wasn't some divisive thing where they just barely managed to squeak through. It was fairly overwhelming. Doesn't mean that it was right or that you can't criticize it, but overturning it is way beyond criticism. What do you think, Viviana?
This has been a struggle that the Biden administration and frankly the Democratic Party has had for decades when it comes to crime. They don't want to appear too soft on crime, so then they come on a little too strong. And in this, he's going to die on that hill as opposed to allowing DC to become, you know, the state with its own views and perspectives as other states are allowed to have, Texas. So, you know, you can't pick and choose which state gets to choose what they want to do, right? You're going to allow Florida and Texas to be doing some ridiculous things, but yet DC wants to make their own rules and you're going to be against that. But this, yeah, like I said, goes back to this crime bill and how it could appear that he is soft on crime as we go into an election year. And this is a problem that the Clintons had, or I'll just say Clinton because it wasn't the Clintons. But, you know, they got really, really tough on crime in the 90s, and we've seen the aftermath of it. And in fact, this crime bill is really a reflection of the harsh penalties that came into place during that time. Even to minors. I mean, we saw the youth authorities across the country change into these prison systems for children and really starting to regulate it like a prison. And these are kids who are 14, 15, 16 years old. And so this harsh view on crime is something that the Democratic Party really needs to figure out, because you can't be on the fence like that. You can't say that you're for the people and you support what they want, and then come down harsh with a hammer. Oh, well, we don't want to. So, you know, this is the problem with Biden. He tries to be safe a little too much, and then he gets into some hot water.
Yeah, 100%. And by the way, like that's going to be an ongoing debate inside of the Democratic Party. But I also want to be clear about what is actually happening with this change, because if you just read what Biden says, they're lowering the penalties for carjackings, which, by the way, there have been 94 carjackings in DC just this year so far. I don't think there's been 94 days, so that's at least one per day on average. So you might see that and think, well, wait, why would they be lowering it? Like, because he doesn't say to what or from what. I guess they're just letting them go. I guess they give them 20 minutes in the slammer or something. And then a reasonable person would read that and think, well, I don't want to be carjacked. Why would you be going easy on them? Well, hold up a second. So let's talk about what's actually happening. So you have, under the current code, the maximum sentence for armed carjacking is 40 years. Okay, that's the same penalty as second degree murder, more than double the penalty for second degree sexual assault. So just to put it in perspective, it's way harsher than sexual assault. No judge would ever dream of handing down anywhere close to a 40-year sentence under a single carjacking. That has been the status quo. It technically can get you 40 years, but nobody is actually going to give you 40 years for it. Rather, the harshest penalties handed down today run about 15 years. So they don't even give them half of the maximum penalty. In recognition that some rare cases may warrant even longer sentences, the RCCA authorizes a 24-year maximum sentence for carjacking. That's the new bill. So under the new bill, you could potentially get a like 50% longer penalty than what you in reality are actually getting under the current system. So it's not inaccurate to say that it's lowering the penalty, sort of. Hypothetically, it's lowering the maximum penalty. In reality, you're likely to get the exact same penalty and might even get a longer one than what you currently get under this system. So maybe Biden doesn't understand that. Maybe he's just being openly dishonest about what this would actually do, but don't believe the hype about it. It's just, they're just letting people out the next day. 15 years or 25 years or 40 years, you're paying the penalty for a carjacking.
And those, that 40-year penalty was probably put in place in the 90s when that crime bill went really strong across the country. And let's talk about why we're seeing more smash and grab jobs. Let's talk about why we're seeing more people stealing cars and doing that. That's a bigger problem than just this one little off-putted, you know, tweet. We're talking about inflation being high. We're talking about the price of eggs. I mean, that used to be just like a euphemism, but now it's like, let's talk about the price of eggs. You know, this has a lot to do with the price of eggs. So we got to look at the country as a whole and look at why crimes are being committed across the country and in big cities like DC, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and really get to the bottom of that. And they don't want to put, Biden doesn't want to talk about that. He'd rather just be like, no, we got to close the book on him and just call it. That way people, they only read headlines. It's true, John. Very few people, your audiences are readers. They go into the details, but very few people just read the headline.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is for him to be able to say that he's tough on crime to get some Republicans to they're not gonna give him credit. He thinks it will. It won't actually work for that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. With that said, he's continuing to try. But thank you to AOC for pushing back against that and being consistent on DC statehood. With that said, why don't we jump into our last story of the hour?
It's ridiculous, this lawsuit. It's very frustrating and it's upsetting. This is honestly, to me, an attack on our Second Amendment rights and our rights to self-defense. And it's saying, if you use your God-given right to self-defense, they're gonna come after you. If you win in court, you're acquitted, rightfully so. They're gonna take you to civil court and they're gonna take you for everything you're worth. They're gonna drive you into bankruptcy and drown you in a mountain of legal bills.
So that was apparently, I think, Tucker Carlson's son or something. Going on his show to, he looks weirdly like him. Kyle Rittenhouse, just practice like you moving your mouth so that you don't have the slack jawed face like Tucker Carlson later in life. Anyway, he was given a national platform by Tucker Carlson again to beg for donations for his legal defense. Someone who has already been given hundreds of thousands of dollars from conservatives because he went and killed some people. So he deserves hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's not enough. He needs more of your money. You should transfer, you, a conservative who might be having a difficult time, should take from the little money that you have and give it to Kyle Rittenhouse so that he doesn't have to deal with the legal consequences of his barbaric actions. So anyway, as he alludes to there, he is facing this lawsuit, wrongful death, over one of the individuals that he killed when he killed a bunch of people. And he has a little bit more to say about that. Let's jump to that now.
I know we're gonna win to court, but it's gonna be expensive. It's gonna cost a lot of money to fight. These attorneys are very powerful. You can go to help me take on these lawyers so they don't come after more people, because if they can come after me.
Tucker, I am begging you to blink. Honestly, move. Like, give some signal that there is brain activity going on. I understand that Kyle Rittenhouse is a terrible speaker, and it seems ridiculous that a news person would be spending their time having him just beg for money or whatever. I might want to give him that sort of look while he's talking, but this is your job, and you're supposed to be better at it. Anyway, Viviana, Kyle Rittenhouse got acquitted or whatever. It doesn't make him anything other than what we all know that he is. But I have to say that I draw a lot of continuing pleasure from the fact that his life for years and years is just going to be a long drawn out battle over the consequences of what he chose to do.
Ironically, he's talking about the right to defend yourself when he killed Anthony, is it Huber, who was defending himself. So you see a guy wandering the streets with an AR-15, you're a hero if you smash him over the head with a skateboard.
Exactly.
Unless you're Kyle Rittenhouse, then somehow you're under attack. Bro, nobody asked you to go there and put on your latex gyno gloves. Nobody asked you to do this. This is not self-defense. You could have stayed tucked in bed with your mommy and your daddy, just like you are right now. And instead of doing this whole charade about, oh, this is an attack on self-defense. No, it isn't. It's an attack on idiots who think they can go in the street and just shoot people. So sorry, but you're gonna have a long legal battle ahead of you. And if people wanna give you money, that's their stupidity. But they better watch out if you decide to take to the streets again, because who knows who's at risk.
Yeah, and bear in mind, everyone, when he talks about a right to defense, he means you have a right to defense if you have an AR-15. Anyone else who defends themselves from the maniac running around with a military grade weapon, they don't have a right to defense. They can be gunned down and it doesn't mean anything. Final advice to Kyle Rittenhouse. I understand that this is a difficult period in your life, but you should probably actually savor it, because if you ever get past these trials, no one is ever going to pay attention to you for the rest of your life. You're going to descend into utter mediocrity, or maybe worse, in your continuing quest to get the right wing to love you. This is actually probably the high water mark for your life. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Much more to come in the aftermath, everyone, including the Garbage People of the Week. We'll see you in a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.